This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor of WorldSweeper.com and the director of the World Sweeping Association. And I'm very proud today to be speaking with Carl Stoddy. Carl heads up with his wife, Lori, Commercial Power Sweeping. They're located in Virginia. And they are celebrating their 34th year of operation this year, having started in 1986. And they this year were awarded the National Pavement Expo Sweeping Contractor of the Year, and there are many good reasons for that. Carl is very involved in many aspects of the power sweeping industry and more. He has made himself an expert on sweeping and stormwater management, the pollution abatement off pavement. He is, I'm proud to say, a member of the advisory board for the World Sweeping Association. And so, Carl, with that, if you would tell us, you know, how you got started, but let's talk about your success in the industry and how others might be inspired by your success and what you have done to get there to maybe modify their own business practices to become more profitable, become more professional, that sort of thing. So anyway, welcome, Carl. And
thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Back in 86 when we started the company, I was only doing part-time routes, only working 2 or 3 days a week and still holding a full-time job, and did that for probably close to a year until we got comfortable enough to make the jump. And since conception, the only advertising we have ever done is on our trucks. So most of our growth has been through word of mouth, quality of service, and always doing what you say you're going to do, to be honest with you. We've been very fortunate to have excellent employee retention through the 34 years we've been in business. We just celebrated two guys last year at our Christmas party that have been with me for, one's been with me 20 years and one has been with me 25 years. And both of these two individuals, which are now supervisory roles, I personally trained myself. So, you know, I know the values that I instilled in them, they're instilling in my current employees, and it still shows to this day. So that's been a huge, huge value to our success. In my opinion, it's just having the right person doing the right job. Because you can preach whatever you want to preach, but it's still up to that individual to go out there and perform it on his own, because we all basically work independently. And that's the biggest, hardest part of this industry is, you know, you send these guys out individual to represent your values, but they may or may not have your values. So to get that instilled in their mindset is a hard concept to accomplish.
What do you think makes it work that way for you? I mean, you do have the advantage of having trained them yourself, but a lot of, especially the smaller contractors, that's who's going to be doing the training, is the person at the top. So what types of things did you tell them that for one, you know, makes them provide good service night after night or day after day, and for two, you know, makes them want to stay with you?
I don't know if it's more so that just I lead by example. I mean, to this day, there's nothing I won't do here in the shop, out in the field. You know, like we had I think it was our 25th anniversary, and we had a big picnic and cookout for everybody here. Invited them to bring their families and some of the contractors and stuff, and it was on a weekend. And our biggest milling contractor decided to work that particular Saturday. So I jumped in the truck and went out and swept and let all the guys stay here and have fun. And I've just always done it that way. I've just always led by example. You know, I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't done or will continue to do. And I think that just brings value to getting honor and respect, you know.
I would think that action of doing that on the day of the party would just reverberate through the company.
Oh, yeah, it did, absolutely. I mean, they talked about it for years, you know. Mm-hmm. But just it was just the right thing to do, you know. If I'm not successful without them. So, you know, that's what I always tell everybody all the time. This is a partnership. It's not all about me. You know, we don't have a problem sharing the wealth. We pay our guys good. We give them good benefits. We got excellent reward programs. We get bonuses when they go out on call, service calls on weekends. I mean, we literally share the wealth. So that earns a lot of respect and dedication also.
Well, I think that was reflected in the photo that was there for your award at the National Pavement Expo, which was part of the article where this audio was linked, is that you chose not to have a picture of, for example, you and Lori, who are at the head of this, but to have a picture that encompassed your whole team.
Yeah.
That was very telling, I thought.
Well, I appreciate that.
And let's talk about Lori a little bit, because I know that that's a significant factor in your success as well, is the person who spurs you on to greater success, shall we say.
Yeah, she's excellent with customers, excellent in getting our values across. Like in our industry, we're one of the few contractors that require a dumpster to be on site in the shopping centers. And we went to a seminar many moons ago when she used to go to the MPs. And they were always talking about how, you know, the shopping center needs to be, understand that they're responsible from cradle to grave for this trash that they're generating. They need to know where it's going. And typically in our industry, it's unspoken how you dispose of stuff. Well, she came back from that. She drove and drove and drove it home till this day. That either you provide a dumpster or we're going to provide one, so you'll have correct knowledge of where your debris is being disposed of. And we're one of the few that do it and get away with it. And I don't want to say get away with it, but I guess educate the customer about
sure,
why
make
they
it
really
stick.
Yeah, you should be concerned with where your debris is being disposed of at.
You know, that's something that goes back to ethics and professionalism too, because if you tell a client that they have to have a dumpster so they know where their debris goes, and then they say, well, we don't really want to do that, so we'll go get somebody else. If you then say, well, okay, yeah, we'll do, I mean, you've just talked to them about how important it was for them to cradle to grave their debris, and then you say, oh, well, it's really not that important, I'll go ahead and take you as a client anyway. Those are the little things that show that you lied to them.
All right.
And if it happened on that topic, then what other topics might it be happening on out there?
Absolutely.
How do you
go ahead? It's in all of our contracts too. I mean, it's written right there, and we don't upcharge what the dumpster fee is. We just, you know, sell it at cost. Mm-hmm. But it makes it convenient for us. It makes us easier to do our job, and especially in the fall season. You know, some shopping centers you go to, and there's 26 trash cans. Where are you going to put all this? It's got to go somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And that makes perfect sense. And, you know, these days you don't know what's in debris, and you can't afford to be combining it from customer to customer to customer should there be some kind of a spill or somebody dump something that you're then responsible for. How do you sort that out? So you would end up being you know, taking a significant liability hit with something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
So you keep your employees by paying them well, giving them good benefits, you know, doing things like your picnic, your party. What other things? I know that right now one of the biggest topics here in 2020 is attracting employees and certainly keeping the ones you have. You know, is there anything else you can speak to on that topic?
Well, we provide full benefits. We do health, vision, dental, 401k. We buy two pair of boots for them every year. We buy their uniforms. Anything they need, have the power of suggestions, we get or implement. We have monthly meetings with all of our drivers, day shift and night shift. We value their communications, and it's we throw our ideas out at them, that, you know, and then we take their feedback, and together we come up with a game plan. So it's not management versus the workers; it's the team trying to come up with a solution together. And I think, especially the new generation, they want to be involved in everything. You know, they want to be hands-on and have knowledge and feel like they're part of something other than just here's your route, she good to your route. I think that's helpful and useful, and if they see that we follow up on it, the key is not just to talk about it. The key is to talk about it and create a solution. You know, that's, you've got to show some actions for all these conversations you have, or you're just wasting everybody's time.
Well, that kind of same follow-through, you know, is what makes it work. It's if you just talk about it and then don't implement it, then you're sure going to see that conversation going on behind your back with your employees. And that's not what you want. You want the conversation going on behind your back because they always do, but you want those to be positive. And, of course, you want an open door to be able to talk about new ideas and things that can change and so forth. So
yeah, I mean, a couple of years ago, they all came up at one of the meetings, and, you know, like one particular gentleman said, you know, I'm always working weekends. I'd like to switch it up. So they started a rotation of every, I think it's every quarter, that they'll switch up everybody's times and routes and days you're on, days you're off, and stuff of that nature. So that way they're always being cross-trained on different routes. And then, you know, you don't want to do the same shopping center 7 nights a week for the rest of your life either. So it gives them a different taste, a different challenge. And they seem to enjoy that quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Now, and you do many services, too. That's your business model is to not just sweep, but to do much more than that. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, we pretty much will do any exterior maintenance on the shopping center that occurs, and even some interior stuff, but we try to focus on the exterior. And the beauty of our nighttime guys is if they bring a discrepancy on the property to our attention, and we've taught them how to measure it, you know, if it's a asphalt repair or graffiti or whatever, we showed them how to spec it out for us so we don't have to send boots on the ground out there to look at it. They'll take a picture of it, we'll immediately price it, send it to the property manager, and if that job gets awarded, we in turn give them either cash or a debit card or something of that nature every month. We got some guys that make $300, $400, $500, $600 a month off of this, just off referrals. Then we got other guys that don't do anything with it, which just blows my mind because it's free money on the table. But that's another incentive to get the guys motivated to, and every day, you know, they come back, they're shooting us 5, 6, 7 pictures every day.
Well, that's a huge addition to your business.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really encourage contractors listening to this to take that to heart. And it doesn't really matter whether you're doing the work yourself or whether you're subbing it out to somebody else that does, you know, line striping or whatever needs to be done, whatever they're saying needs to be done. It's the same concept is, you know, involve your employees to get you that work. That's I would think that is huge.
We do high pole light repairs. We do light inspections on the properties once a month. So if they don't have a site plan, we ask the property manager to give us a site plan. We give that to that operator that night and say, okay, here, we've taught them how to diagram what's working, what's not. They'll do a site inspection report. We scan it, boom, shoot it to the property manager. If we're doing it or not, we still provide that service once a month. Asphalt repairs, sign repairs, speed bumps, illegal dumpings, graffiti, crack filling, striping, handicap stalls, insulation ramps. So pretty much anything to do with the exterior of the property. And Daniel and myself will also go around. We got a lot of property management firms that are out of state, and they want a weekly inspection report. So Daniel will go out there once a week and just physically walk the whole property, shoot a bunch of pictures. We got an app that we use internally that we link to the property managers that they can see everything that's going on. So it shows before, during, and after pictures. So they see what's happening while we're on site. And out-of-state property managers absolutely love it.
Oh, you bet. And I want to bring in that Daniel is your son, and you really raised him in the business. So
yes,
that's a very strong asset right there, too. Do you have any words of wisdom for people that have children coming up in the business and, you know, how to integrate them and, you know, let them go when they need to go or keep them around when, you can manage that. I know Daniel.
Words of wisdom.
Words of teenage wisdom, shall we call it?
No, just Daniel's just a good hard worker, and he understands the industry pretty well. I mean, he's done it all, and that's the whole key. You know, he ran routes, he ran nights, he's run days. You know, he's done all the building maintenance. He ran the building maintenance division for a couple of years. As far as keeping or letting them go, that's just got to be an individual choice. I mean, if it's not what the individual wants to do, give them the freedom or the education to go elsewhere. I mean, I'm not sure if he's staying here or leaving, you know. I don't know that. But I wish him well whatever he does. But
And you support him in whatever he does, too. I know that that's...
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the facts as well. You also split your sweeping up to do nights as well as construction sweeping and that sort of thing. Is there value to that? I mean, there must be, or you wouldn't be doing it that way. But talk a little bit about that, if you would. When did you get into, did you start with night routes and then move over to street sweeping and construction site and milling and that sort of thing?
Yeah, we started out in parking lots, probably did that for 10 and 12 years, and then we started getting requests to get into some construction sites, and then the asphalt milling industry took off, and we were running two or three trucks behind milling machines. And then we got into doing some state bids and municipal work. But that whole industry is involved now. I mean, the milling industry now is going to, everybody's buying a mill and buying their own sweeper. So that's definitely altered over the last probably 5 years. You see a big change in that. But we still do a lot of it, don't get me wrong, but not, you know, to the influence we were doing. But we'll run anywhere from 7 to 9 trucks every day. You know, we do as much sweeping a day as we do at night. And it's a pleasant, you know, give and take, but still 24/7. It never ends, you know.
When that opportunity came up or you started seeing opportunities to do daytime sweeping, how did you evaluate that to where you finally, because it's different equipment. You have to go out and buy sweepers that are designed for that. What was your determiner to say, okay, we've got enough requests here that we feel like we can go out and spend that money? And did you have contracts in hand? And of course, you know, they're probably not going to know anything about your track record because you're in nighttime sweeping. So somehow you learned about that work happening too. That might be something else we should talk about.
About 15 or 18 years ago, they really started enforcing stormwater runoff in our area. And the city and municipalities were forcing job sites to have proof of sweeping services. So they either had to, you know, show a contract or show an invoice that they were having the minimum done on their sites, and that's what really drove it for us. Aggregate plants, concrete plants, asphalt plants, and any construction job site that has anything to do with tracking out, because you get to spin your head 360 degrees where I live, and you're looking at water all the time. So the stormwater runoff just drove it hard and fast, and city of Virginia Beach was just running out, and they'd go look inside your DIs, and if you had 3 inches of sand down inside of it, they'd force you to clean it, even though it was private property because it was going into their stormwater system.
Sure.
So it was basically municipality-driven, and we were just at the right place at the right time, I guess. Best way to put it.
Well, that's, you know, recognizing that that opportunity exists and taking advantage of it are two different things. So, you know, having the ability and to step out and say, okay, we're going to do this, and if we can get these accounts, then surely we can get more, and putting your efforts there, that really... That can really make a difference. What else should we talk about in terms of you know, value added that you feel like your organization brings that maybe other contractors don't think about?
I don't know. Just like yesterday, we had one of our milling crews, one of our trucks was working for a milling crew. He had a little bit of a slack time, and particular gentleman in the house he was sitting in front of came out with his daughter, and started asking the gentleman about the operation of the truck. So Randy, my operator, took this young lady, let her get in the truck, explained everything to her, and showed her how the whole truck to operate. I don't know what her age was, because the father called the office yesterday, and he called the office, and he goes, I got this truck tag number. And Brian goes, oh, Lord, here we're getting a complaint. And he goes, I just want to speak to you about how professional and courteous your operator was to take the time and spend the time to show my daughter how your equipment works. And I was just like, man, you know, we get these attaboys not very often, but when you get them, it makes you feel good. And then last week we had an email from a gentleman that was driving by at nighttime, and he says, I knock off of work every night at 8:30. I drive by your shop, and all your trucks are lined up. All your headlights are turned on. Everything is runned up. It looks like it's an army getting ready to take off. And he says, it's consistent. Every night I see this when I come by there. And he just randomly sent me an email and says, you must run a very good operation. I'm impressed just driving by.
That's a feel-good for sure. And do you park all the sweepers in the same spot every night?
Yeah.
So you can tell whether there's oil leaks or, you know, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of low-hanging fruit. Sorry about that. That's low-hanging fruit to do, and any kind of consistency you can do in that way really, really makes a difference. One comment I wanted to make that I didn't get back to with, I saw two things juxtaposed there. One is that some of your operators will look for different things that go wrong on properties, and they make some extra money doing that. Other ones don't. You don't know why. We don't know why. But the fact that you switch out your routes quarterly means that you're going to see those things, because the operators that are really keyed in on that will swap to another route. And then that shows the other employees, they say, oh, there was, you know, some money laying on the ground that I didn't pick up, because I could have been the guy that noticed that those things needed to be done. And that will provide them, you know, a little more incentive to do that.
We just talked about it last week, of starting to post in the public so all the guys can see who's gotten what. We did it for a while, then we got away from it. And we were talking about the other day, this might help drive it a little bit better. You know, if you just saw that Randy got 32 jobs awarded to him last month, and Mike got 15, and you five didn't get anything, then we got a problem here. You know, you're leaving money on the table.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, the clients are a lot more satisfied when they know that you're going to notice these things, too. There's a certain client satisfaction level that's there, you know, besides money.
Absolutely.
On the table. I mean, the reason for them to hire you is because they would rather have the problem solved than have the money that it costs to solve it. So that's the fair trade of, a capitalist democratic institutions.
And it's difficult to get to all 260-plus sites a month. I mean, you know, it's a lot of sites to go look at. So if we can integrate these guys and being part of the process and part of the solution, then everything's a plus-plus.
And how do you do oversight on your properties? How do you tell that everybody's doing a good job?
Our nighttime sweeper operator / supervisor, he only runs a route like 2 days a week. So the other three nights, he's in a pickup truck going doing site inspections and helping some guys out or checking on new trainees. And then during the day, Daniel and or any time we're out doing building maintenance now, if we're going out there to replace handicap signs, put in some parking blocks or whatever, we do a full site inspection. We've taught these guys what to look for, so they do a quick inspection of the property to give us another person's opinion of the quality that we're providing. So that works hand in hand with each other. So, and then with Clarence running around checking on the guys and making sure they're up to par. And plus, you know, he gets to pick which routes he wants to run, so he gets to pick who he's going to follow behind. And he'll know when you get on location if somebody's doing their job or not. It's not hard to determine that.
Well, with my experience too, I'd have to agree with that. You can certainly see it. Do you use a standard inspection sheet of some kind?
Yeah, we got a grading system, just a 1-5 grading system, and just pinpoint curves, islands, landscaped areas, sidewalks, cracks in the sidewalks, rear of the property, main entrance, side entrances. Normally, we try to push people to the areas that get neglected the most.
Yeah. So what else should we talk about? This has been very instructive for those listening to this award-winning contractor on the other end of the phone. Any kind of the kinds of ideas or tips you'd have for those out there listening that might not have as might be a little more wet behind the ears than you are?
Just do what you say you're going to do, number one. Don't overpromise and underperform. And, you know, just don't bite off more than you can chew. Stick to quality service versus, you know, amount of properties. I think it's more important in the long run. And
One thing I realized I wanted to ask you is how do you evaluate profitability? How do you know if a customer is profitable or not? I mean, you have a good handle on your expenses, I know, and you might talk about that just a touch, but, you know, do you do a review, whether it's quarterly or yearly or however you do it, with all of your clients to make sure that you're hitting the target profit level that you are looking for?
Yeah, so not a single item comes in our building on the maintenance side that doesn't get expensed to a truck. So we know the cost of operation of each truck, of each manufacturer, down to the penny, and you got to give all that to Lori. And she hands down can tell me any given time what it's cost to operate this truck. Then when it comes to our properties, we go back and we have GPS and geofences and all that. So we go back and we look at the time served on the property. So you can calculate that to what you're charging them and or any other additional service income that they may bring in. And that's an important evaluation on that property. Because we got some properties, like a particular city, we just canceled everybody in that city. It was kind of an outlying town that I've been doing for years. But we never got any extra building maintenance from them. And so we made a determination to cancel all six of the parking lots we were doing out there. Because, A, they wouldn't take many price increases that we're trying to get every year, and, B, we wasn't making any extra income on building maintenance. So the travel time wasn't worth the cost because we were growing so much in our other markets that we're servicing. So we just determined we're going to let them all go. And, you know, they were break-even points. But at the time, a lot of times when you get a new customer, they'll come in, they'll say, I'll give you these four parking lots, but you got to take this one out in this little bed and breakfast town. And when you're young and growing, you do it. And that one shopping center I had out there since 1989, you know, and we just now let them go in 2020. But it wasn't profitable to run that route as a whole, and that's how we look at it, too. Sometimes you got to look at the property, and then sometimes you got to look at the route. And, of course, density is the biggest thing. You don't want no windshield time. The less windshield time you have, the more money you're making. But we do take each property and break it down typically about twice a year. We know from the others, but time spent on property, we do it about twice a year through the GPS system to make sure our numbers are correct. Because typically everybody's rebidding everything in early fall, so we need to know by midsummer how we're doing on that particular lot.
Well, that's excellent. Okay, anything else we should talk about, or should we just pat you both on the back a number of times and say thank you very much again?
Well, I got another award 7 years ago from the World Sweeping Association, so I'm a two-time winner, so I guess I've got all the awards I can get, so it's time for me to quit.
Ah, retirement looms. That's we have the this is the first first notice that retirement looming. Well, I don't know. I heard you talking the other day when we set up this that you were out looking at a boat too, and it takes some cash flow to throw money into the water and hope that it gets held inside by a boat hull. So, well, thank you very much, Carl, and I certainly appreciate the input and assistance you've provided to the World Sweeping Association and to me through the years. You're one of my go-to guys when it comes to environmentalism. You're there on Chesapeake Bay, and so you have kind of some first alert environmental stuff that's going on, and Carl and I have worked together through the years to push forward the concept of sweeping for the environmental sides of that and first line of defense for water quality and pollution abatement and that sort of thing. And that has really been brought forward by a recent University of Florida study that shows that sweeping is by far the most cost-effective way to remove pollutants like nitrogen and phosphorus. And that's a level that you and I have been on and pushing for a long time. And I appreciate your willingness and ability to push the envelope forward on behalf of the entire power sweeping industry. So this award is certainly well-deserved. And, if I were you, I'd stay in for a while. You might get another award here or there. You just never know.
I appreciate that, too.
All right. We've been talking to Carl Stoddy, and he, along with his wife, Lori, and let's not forget Daniel, their son, and their entire employee team, which you saw in the article that linked to this audio podcast recording. They are responsible for one of the most successful sweeping contractor and more organizations in the United States, commercial power sweeping in Virginia. So thanks again, Carl.
All right. Thank you, Ranger.